exiled because of preaching the word of God. He was exiled by the Roman government. He was exiled under an emperor of Rome who was named Domitian, and he demanded worship. The Roman emperors got more and more power as time went on. They became more tyrannical. Kind of reminds you of the United States, what's going on right now. And became more tyrannical to the point where they demanded worship and took away the freedoms of the people. Of course, John preached the word of God and says, Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. And so he was exiled to an island called Patmos, which was right off the Aegean, which was in the Aegean Sea, right off Asia Minor here, modern-day Turkey, where he had pastored as an apostle the churches there, the church at Ephesus, and he did a circuit to the churches there. And he was now in prison on that island called Patmos. And there the Spirit of God took him forward in time to the day of the Lord. And from the time of the day of the Lord, he gave an overview of the whole revelation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he talked about the things which would lead up to the coming of Christ and to the day of the Lord in chapters 1 through 7. And then in chapters 8 through 19, he talked about what would happen when the Lord came back and started pouring out his wrath on this world. And then in chapter 20 and 21 and 22, he talked about the things that would happen after the Lord poured out his wrath and set up in his kingdom over the earth after kicking Satan out. Because Satan has been ruling now for, you know, for all of these years. And so and so remember, John was doing this, and John was given instruction by the Lord Jesus in chapter 4. And in chapter 4, he was brought back to the present, and then he was transported where in the spirit? Diane, again.
Heaven.
Yeah, he was transported up in the spirit into heaven, and there in heaven, he was transported to heaven to see things that would happen, it says, hereafter. And hereafter is speaking of a special period of time. And it's interesting, I have here keys that unlock the understanding of that period of time that he was transported to see what would happen during that period of time. One of the keys says Matthew 24. The other key says Revelation 6. Now we're going to study Revelation 6 today, but Matthew 24 parallels what we're going to study. So what you see in Revelation 6 is also taught in Matthew 24, and we're going to look at both of these today when we look at this. Now, I got to get something else off my desk. Sarge, I hate to run you around. I have a scroll on my desk with seals. Did you? Thank you. If you'd bring that, I'd appreciate it. Okay. So I'm making him work. So Matthew 24, Revelation 6. Now, what period of time in heaven was John showed when it said, I'm going to show you things that will happen hereafter? And now it's a future period of time. And we have it pictured on the board up there. Raise your hand if you know. All right, let's go with, thank you, Sargie. All right. Rose. Well, you're on the way there, but not fully there. It's the whole 70th week, right? It's the whole last 7 years, not just the last half. He's gonna see this period of time here called the 70th week of Daniel. And it's in Matthew 24, and the same thing is in Revelation 6. Are we in those last 7 years yet? No. Those 7 years are coming, and when they come, they're going to be the fulfillment of more prophecies than we've seen fulfilled in the last 2,000 years, just one right after the other. In fact, that's what John was talking about when he said, or Jesus said to John, he said, write the things which must what? Shortly come to pass. Well, that was 2,000 years ago almost. They haven't come to pass in a short amount of time. It's been a long time. what it's saying is when these events, these prophecies start to happen, you better be ready because it's like a roller coaster. Have you ever gone up a roller coaster? It goes click, 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 and you get to the top and you're going, nah! That's the way it's going to be. Right now, you're hearing the click, 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 click. I can feel it right now. You feel it. But when we hit that 70th week, it's going to be like, and people need to be prepared for that spiritually by knowing what's going on, not being deceived by what's going on. And a lot of people, a lot of preachers I found out, they know the Bible, but they can't relate the Bible to what's going on right now. They can't relate the Bible to what's going on right now. I'm telling you that what's going on right now shows us that we are getting close. God can delay things, but we are so close right now. They've got an arrest warrant out for Putin. They've got an arrest warrant out. They're planning to arrest Donald Trump on Tuesday. Do you understand what's going on? You say, who are they? Wicked, wicked people. Yeah. Wicked people that want to put him away. They've tried everything to get rid of that one man.
Their life is on the line. If he gets in, they're done.
They're done. They're done. And you know what? They're done anyway. And they know it. Because right now, everything is coming out. Just like I said in 2 Chronicles 20:23, they're starting to turn. The head of the CDC turned in Fauci. And he said he's a murderer, basically. He just pretty much said it in front of Congress. I mean, if you put the, you have to put it together. But it's all coming out. I told people for a year, I said, Fauci's a mass murderer. He's going to kill people. Gates is a mass murderer. And all these things, they're coming out now. And yes, what are they trying to do? They're trying to pick a war with Putin. These people, this guy in the Ukraine is a wicked dude. Zelensky, he's wicked. You hear him as a hero. He's no hero. He's a person that launders money for the globalists. He's a person that has bioweapon labs that can destroy people in the world in the Ukraine. He's not a hero, Zelensky. Stop listening to mainstream media. They're lying to you. Putin is not the villain of villains. Putin is somebody that is fighting against these people now. He's not going along with these people. I'm talking about the wicked globalists that control the West, the Western world, that control the United States because they took Donald Trump out with a coup. This whole January 6th thing is a sham. Yep. Nancy Pelosi ran it. And it's all coming out. They have the evidence out. Tucker Carlson has the evidence. He was shut down by Rupert Murdoch of Fox News. Said he couldn't bring it all out. But the evidence is there. Other people have it. It's coming out, friends. This thing, I'm telling you, I know what's going on. A lot of preachers won't even talk about this. I'm relating this world government that's coming to what's going on right now. The enemy is not Putin primarily. They're trying to use Putin as a stooge to provoke him in the Ukraine. These wicked people are trying to provoke him to nuke the United States. And we are that close to it. We're closer than the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis with John Kennedy. We're closer right now to nuclear war. Why do they want a nuclear war? To cover their own tails. Because the truth is coming out about these people. Well, that's what they want. Yeah, and he's also probably dying. And they're trying to push him. And they're working with Xi Jinping of China, who helped them launch a bioweapon, which was called COVID-19. It was a bioweapon developed by Obama, really, in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and then was moved into a Wuhan lab in China, while Fauci lied and lied and lied. And then they gain of function just means bioweapon. When they say gain of function, it means they turn it into a bioweapon. And then they launched it on the world, killing millions of people, but saving the Chinese first. It's all a plan. These globalists want to rule the world, and they want to use China. Right now, banks failing. They want the banks to fail. They want a few banks to run everything. Then they want to federalize it. Biden already has everything drawn up to federal. He didn't do it. Obama did it under these guys. And what they want to do, they want to lock you up to the banks, and they want to have the banks be controlled by the Federal Reserve, and they want to have something called a CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. It's already proposed. It's already a federal order is already given on this. They should go through Congress to pass laws to do these things. But they want to do it through Biden, through a federal order, and he will speak to federal agencies like the CDC and others, and they'll put it into practice. And so they have this gate they want to put around you, and when they lock it down and they do that, all cryptocurrencies will mean nothing. All other money will mean nothing. They will do a bail-in and take your money, and when the banks fail, and because they don't have enough money in the federal the insurance, $250,000 per bank, they insure your money. They don't have the money for that. So they want to turn this central bank digital currency, and when they do that, they will basically own your money, and then you'll be on a Chinese scoring system, and they'll have special drawing right currency, and it's all planned out. All I'm saying is that what's going on right now is Satan taking over the world, and once they take over the money and you don't have any cash, they can tell you when you go on a vacation. They can tell you where to go and when to go. They can control your whole life, which is what these people want to do. They have a god complex.
They shut down all the truckers' bank accounts.
Yes.
And they can just shut your money out.
So, you know, now is the time for the Red Sea to fall. You better pre-praying, because we need to see this delayed by Almighty God, and I believe he can do it, but we're right down to the last minute here. And like I said, they are pushing a nuclear war with Russia, and they are also pushing to arrest Trump Tuesday, because he's come against them. And Putin, they hate his guts. They love Zelensky because he is their whore. He's their you-know-what. And they control him. And that's why they're taking all our money that they should be helping the people in Ohio, where they had that, by the way, that plane crash, not plane crash, that train crash in Ohio that caused all that poisoning of the people. Do you know that a year before that, they did a Hollywood movie right in the same place that all happened? That's what these people do. Their moral code says they have to put it out in a Hollywood movie what they're going to do. They'll tell you ahead of time. And that's exactly what they did. So let's go back now to the Bible, because I'm just saying to you, people aren't saying what's going on. And if I start talking about it in church, I get voices telling me, shut up. Do not talk. Well, I'm going to talk. All right. So let's go on here. So John was given instruction by the Lord in chapter 4. And while he was up in heaven, he saw, and it's pretty good to say this right now, because I've been talking about nuclear war and talking about all this stuff. Aren't you glad what John saw in heaven was the Lord sitting upon a throne? And the Lord is God the Father sitting upon the throne. And I don't know if it's, God is invisible and he dwells in inapproachable light, but there may have been a form, because it says in the right hand of the Father on the throne was a scroll like this. He had this scroll. And he's sitting on the throne, you know, and these high angelic beings called beasts, four beasts, they're falling down and worshiping him. 24 elders, which are also high-ranking angelic beings, they're falling down and worship him. Rank-and-file angels are all around them, and they're falling down and worship him. And they're calling God the creator of everything. And he is, and he's the owner of everything. And he has in his right hand this scroll. And what is it? Well, inside this scroll contains something that is going to be unleashed in order for God to get the world back to a man and take it away from Satan. Because Satan's been controlling things for the last 6,000 years. And this is Satan making his final big hurrah right now, his final big move. Even the stuff I'm talking about is Satan, what he's planning to do. You see, Satan wants to put his man on the throne. He wants to put his man in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. He wants to put the man that he's like an unholy spirit, and he wants to put his man there and lead people to worship his man. And then he has a Jewish false prophet, an Antichrist, that is going to say, worship God, who is like God the Father, who's going to be this man, this beast. And Satan wants to rule the world through these two beasts. And so on this throne is God, and he's got this scroll with these seals on it. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. What is it that's inside this scroll that needs to be unleashed to take the world back? Yeah.
The seven wrathsof God.
The what?
The seven wrathsof
God. Yes, the seven, she said, wraths of God. Or the seven expressions of God's wrath. And God is long-suffering, and he's been building up for 6,000 years, but he's about to blow a cork. He's about to blow a cork. And when he does, you don't want to be on the bad side of things. You don't want to be under the wrath of God. The Bible speaks about being under the wrath of God, and it's a horrible thing. And the seven wraths that she talked about are actually seven trumpets that will be blown by seven different angels. And each angel, when he blows that trumpet, part of the wrath of God will be poured out. And then there'll be a little break. And then another one will sound, and more of the wrath of God will be poured out. And that all begins in Revelation 8 in what's called the Day of the Lord. And that's over here in the second 3.5 years of the 7 years, okay? So, yes, that's exactly right. But let me move on here quickly here. And then in chapter 5 of Revelation, he was crying because there was no man that could take this scroll, open the seals, because all these seven seals have to be opened before we can unfold the scroll of the wrath of God and begin the trumpets of the wrath of God. You have to break these seals first. And no man was worthy to do it. So John started crying in chapter 5. And, you know, he talked to one of the elders about it. And the elder basically told him to stop his crying. Stop your crying. And why do you need to stop your crying, John? Well, because God has a man. God has a man. And who is that man? Well, first of all, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There was a man who came with the door of prophecy. For 4,000 years, God prophesied. First of all, he'd be born of a woman. Then it said that he would be born of the Hebrew people. And then it said he would be born of Israel. And then it said he would be born of the family of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and so forth and so on. And he finally was born from a virgin, as it says in Isaiah 7:14, and he was an innocent lamb that was totally sinless, and that was what was needed. There was no man born after Adam's sin that came from Adam's seed that could be sinless, because we're all born with original sin. Do you have to teach a baby to do bad things once it gets big enough to do bad things? You have to teach the baby to do right. And so, him, Mary didn't do right. A little baby, and as a child, and he grew up to be a teenager. He never sinned one time. Can you imagine that? Now, if he could have sinned one time, he couldn't have been the lamb of sacrifice. Even in the Old Testament, sacrificial lambs had to be blemishless, innocent. And they would offer them for sin. And this is what Jesus was, the Lamb of God. He fulfilled all the animal sacrifices, and he was perfect. And so he could die for our sins, for the sins of the world. If you're here today, you have true moral before God. And you will pay for your sin. I'm, you'll have to go through this wrath of God that we're talking about, unless you get saved. Little lamb right here. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Maybe that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. But came into the world to grow up, to follow God the Father's will, and his will was to offer him as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's what the Father wanted, and that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he did. Have you come to that place where you have looked to him to save you? Look to his sacrifice to pay for your sin, and put your faith in him to save you. Once you do that, you're saved, but not until you do. Just like getting married, you have to say, I do, to your wife or your husband. Then you're married. You can't live with someone if you're not married to them. Well, you can, but you're living in fornication. You're living in sin. God won't have you live with him in heaven unless you say, I do, Jesus. I do it as my lamb of sacrifice. And you humble yourself and you say, I need you as my lamb, or you'll not be saved. You'll not be saved. Understand that. Behold today the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Many people have not. Most people have not. Because Satan doesn't want you to believe this message. But it is the good news. And so that is the first thing. But he told John, he said, do not weep. You don't have to weep. There's somebody worthy to open the scroll. He's the lamb. But not only that, he's the lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy to reign. No other king has reigned that's been sinless. No other king has reigned that was worthy to reign. He's worthy because he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He came to reign over the whole world. He's the sinless king. And he paid for our sins. He died. He was buried. But oh boy, he rose again. And he's coming again. He's not coming again to die again. He's coming to rule and reign over this world. Take away Satan's kingdom. And so he is worthy, you see, to break these seals. And to pour out the wrath of God. You say, who's going to pour out the wrath of God upon this world? Who's mad and angry? Not only God the Father, but this Lamb. It's called in the Bible the wrath of the Lamb. Sounds strange. He came as the Savior. But if you don't accept him, you're going to experience his wrath. It's going to be hell on earth when it's poured out. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. It's going to be poured out, and he's going to come back again and pour out his wrath. And so we're coming to the time, and it's during this last 7 years before his thousand-year reign, right in the first 3.5 years, when these seals are going to begin to be broken. They're going to begin to be broken, and the key is in Revelation 6, which I hope you'll turn to now, and Matthew 24, which you might want to, somebody might want to put your finger in Matthew 24 because you can help us out. So if you'll go to Revelation 6, and if you have a King James Bible, put your finger in Matthew 24 because we're going to go into these seals right now and start breaking them, all right? And you better get ready because when I break these seals, there's going to be trouble. No, we're not going to break all 7 of them today. We're not going to break them all. We're going to break the first 6, though.
Uh-oh.
And the 7th will break next week, and the 7th is in Revelation, well, that's actually chapter 8, so I guess we won't break it. What's that?
Shall we run
and hide? Yeah, you better get ready. You better get ready, Cherry. All right. All right, here we go here. Let's see. We're using this special key now. And John saw this scroll, and angel said, stop crying, the elder, stop crying. There's a man worthy, and up comes the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he takes the scroll from the Father's right hand. And he's got the scroll, and now he's going to break that first seal, okay? So he goes, and I'm not worthy. So he breaks the first seal right there. He breaks it.
bathroom.
Yeah. Now, John Payo knows I'm mechanically challenged, so I'm having trouble breaking the seals here. All right. So here we go. Dropped it. Anyway, he breaks the first seal, and when he breaks that first seal, it sets forth the first event in Revelation chapter 6. And when it happens, one of the four beasts tells John to come and see. John sees a white horse with a rider wearing a crown and carrying a bow. And so let's look at that right now.
Uh-oh, I see it now.
There it is. That's the first one. So that starts the beginning of sorrows. And that's, all right, now what we want to do, we want to read that in Revelation 6. So let's look at Revelation 6, verse 2. It says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So when that seal was opened, that's the first thing. Now each of these seals is a prior event that occurs on earth, starts in heaven, then it happens on earth, and it's not the wrath of God. None of these seals are the wrath of God. They're prior events that must happen for the wrath of God to happen. That's why the first four are going to be right here in the beginning of sorrows, then the fifth will be here in great tribulation, and the sixth will be right here before the day of the Lord's wrath. And the seventh will be after that. And so, and then the day of the Lord's wrath. So the whole seals will have to be broken before the day of the Lord's wrath, right here. Now,
So, Pastor, you're saying the church will be here through these
seals. Yes, yes, because this isn't the wrath of God yet. Yeah, the church will be here. The church will go into this last 7 years and will go through the first four seals, the fifth seal, the sixth seal. And between the sixth and seventh seal, it'll be raptured. Because God has not appointed us to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
A lot of trouble from there all the way to there.
A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff to deal with. That's why I call Revelation a survival guide for Christians. You've got to know these things. A lot of Christians aren't taught this. They're just taught, we're out of here, you know. Suddenly you're going to just disappear. It's going to be signless. And the Lord's coming in secret, you know, like a thief in the night. Nobody, you know, you hear that. Right at the beginning. Most evangelicals in America, right. They and fundamentalists, too. They believe right at the beginning, right here, that we're out of here. And they are misguided and deceived. That's why Jesus said, let no man deceive you. And I'm just going to tell you the truth because you need to know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Jesus said, you know, you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. If you continue my word, you my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. But I'm bound to give it, the whole truth of God. So, all right, so here we are, and you break that first seal, and out comes this white horse. Now, we said the key is also in Matthew 24. So where is, in Matthew 24, this same thing? Well, go to Matthew 24. It says here, look at verse 4 and 5. So somebody that has their Bible in Matthew 24 that wants to read verse 4 and 5, raise your hand, and real quick we'll do that. Karen, go ahead, read it loudly.
"And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many."
Okay, thank you very much. So here we have, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one of God. In the Greek, it's Christ. In the Hebrew, it's Messiah. It means anointed of God to rule the world and to take over the world like we've been talking about, ruling the kingdom. So now there's going to be many coming in his name saying, I am Christ. Now watch this. I don't believe he's talking here about false Christ, although there have been many false Christs, plural. I believe it's many people representing a Jewish Antichrist. A Jewish Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the false prophet. He's the second beast out of the earth, which is the nation of Israel, in Revelation 13. The first beast is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He comes out of the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean, which is the old Roman Empire, which is Europe expanding into the Middle East. So there's going to be two beasts. One is the world ruler, the beast, out of the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean. The other is going to be out of the earth, a Jewish Antichrist. Now remember, I said right at the beginning of the 7 years here, something is going to happen that's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28, 15, and verse 18. And that is that the nation of Israel is going to be led, I believe, by the Jewish Antichrist to make a covenant with the European Union that they're going to give up their national sovereignty, so they'll be under the European Union, and that will be the expansion of the Roman Empire. So now the European Union, you know, which is they're trying to get, you know, you've heard of Brexit and all that, fight the European Union. Yes, fight the European Union. It's of the devil. And it's all part of a one world government that's coming. It's all part of Satan's plan. Israel eventually is going to be led by an Antichrist, not Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus spoke of an Antichrist. And he's called the idol shepherd, not idol, I-D-L-E, like lazy shepherd. Idol, I-D-O-L, in Zechariah, the idol shepherd, Zechariah 14. The idol shepherd means he will worship the beast. He will worship the image of the beast. He will cause the whole world to worship the image of the beast. He will rule the economy that we're talking about, this Jewish Antichrist. He's Jewish. And he's going to lead Israel to worship the beast. Yes, Patty? The Antichrist will say the beast is God the Father, according to Daniel, if you study it out. We don't have time. But he'll say he's God. I'm Christ, he'll say. I'm Christ. And he'll call fire from heaven. He'll do the miracles that the Jews have always wanted Christ to do. And not only the Jews, but the whole world will get enamored with him. And they'll follow him. And he will say, worship this Gentile as God. He's your God. And really, he's a man, but he'll say he's the most highly evolved man. Because, see, Satan's religion is evolution. And he believes he evolved, Satan does, and God evolved, which is a lie. God didn't evolve. But Satan thinks he's equal with God. And so he's going to try to foist this false religion on the world. And so the Jewish Antichrist will lead the Jewish leaders of the nation to give over Israel sovereignty and not be a sovereign nation. By the way, Trump is a nationalist. You know what the devil is? A globalist. Trump and even Putin is a nationalist. But Zelensky's a globalist, and these guys are globalists. And so they want to have a one world government. And so this Jewish Antichrist at the beginning of the 7 years will lead people to worship the beast. And keep in mind now that he has, when he arises, they're going to come in his name saying, I am Christ, and going to deceive many people to go along with this European Union and to be part of this European Union. And that is called making a covenant with death. That is in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 and 18. You could write that down, Isaiah 28, 15 and 18. They'll make a covenant with death. And when Israel does that, that means they're going to get whacked. They're going to get whacked because they're going to come under. And why do they do it? Okay, here's why they do it. For peace and protection. Oh, yeah, you're going to have peace if you do this. Why? Because the world ruler will have all the power, and this Antichrist will have a bow, but he doesn't have an arrow in the bow. It doesn't say anything about an arrow. So he is just saying, if we ally with this European Union now, we're going to have power behind us, military power. Right now, the military power of the globalists is really being the United States. They've used the United States. We're under the control of the globalists right now. You know that. That's why they threw Trump out. They don't want him. But God can bring him back, but that we need to pray because we're under the control of these people. But it's going to be then the European Union. Israel will come under control of the European Union, and they'll have the great military, and that's what they'll promise. Okay, they'll protect us, you know, if anything happens. And also there's going to be a promise. If you ally with us, the European Union, the leader of the European Union will say at that time, he'll say, hey, we'll let you have your temple sacrifices, legal. Nobody will bother you. You can have your animal sacrifice. You can practice your Jewish law. And this will be such a great thing. And man, everybody will get excited and believe this is the time now. Messiah is here. Our Messiah is here. And he'll have them worship a man who will be the head of the European Union that the Bible talks about in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, okay? So that is the first thing that lets us know, wow, the kingdom of the Lord reigning over the earth for 1,000 years. It's close. The first seal is broken. Israel has joined in with this globalist European Union, and things are now on the move, okay? But then what happens? The Lord Jesus in heaven shows John, here's the second seal. He breaks that. Okay, so he breaks that second seal. We're getting closer to the wrath of God poured out so he can take back the world for his son. And the Lord Jesus breaks that seal. And he prophesies what's going to happen. All right? So this is what he sees. A red horse. A red horse comes out. All right? Now, let's look at this red horse. In verse 4, I'll read it. It says, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And so, yes, this red horse, it launched a war. Now, what is going to happen? Let me explain this to you. It's prophesied in Daniel, and it's in Daniel chapter 11. We don't have time to turn there. We're running way out of time. Daniel 11. Here's what's going to happen. When the European Union gets Israel in the European Union, remember the Roman Empire? Israel was in the Roman Empire under the Caesars. Augustus Caesar taxed the world. It included Israel. But who was to the north of Israel that was taxed in the days of the Roman Empire? Who was to the south of Israel during those days? Well, Syria in the north and Egypt in the south. So they will be together. Syria and Egypt will be in this revived Roman Empire. Well, what's going to precipitate this war? Nation will rise against nation. Talks about it in Daniel 11. You know what it is? There's going to be an invasion from the north, Syria, into Israel, and Egypt from the south. You say, why? They're all together in the European Union now. They all have peace. Why would they have war? Why do you think there might be a war like that?
Took peace from the earth.
Yep.
Oil.
Oil. Interesting. Yep.
Would that be the war that was mentioned in 84?
No. This is religion. This is religion. Islam versus Judaism. They're having their sacrifices. Judaism has come back. The Temple Mount. Man, they remember those days. We're jealous. We hate those people. It's Islam against Judaism. And there's going to be a big attack. Now, what's going to happen to the Jewish Antichrist? Jesus said what happened. He said when he sees the wolf coming, he's going to flee. See, he sees the war and he knows the war is going to lead to the beast of Rome invading the Middle East. Why would he invade the Middle East? Because his empire is being threatened. Just war. Antichrist sees the wolf coming and he flees. Where does he go? He goes to Rome. He goes to Rome to actually kiss up to the beast and say, you know, I'll me to conquer on behalf of Rome. It's like Herod did. Herod was the ruled over. And so it'd be like a Herod, like Antichrist, and he's going to lead the armies. I get this from Daniel. I've studied all this. And he's going to lead these armies into the Middle East, and he's going to conquer, Daniel says. All the way. He's going to take out Syria. He's going to go south to Israel, and he's going to take out Egypt. Egypt will be at his steps. He's not going to go further to the east, like into Jordan and so forth, but he'll take out all of that, and it'll be a red horse of war, but then that will cause like a world war. Nation will rise against nation. So there's going to be a big war that will happen, and it starts in this European Union that will be expanded into the Middle East. So that is the second seal to be broken. Okay? So let's put that here. Let's go to the next thing. Let's look at Revelation 6, and let's go to verse number 5. It says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see, and beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands." And you know what? We don't have enough time here. So, should we stop?
Yeah.
Do it next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much information. All right. So we're going to go back to, this is so important. This chapter's key. And I'm just going to tell my youth guy we're going to put it back another week. All right. Let's just stop right there. And let's pray and digest what you've got. I encourage you to read Matthew 24, Revelation 6, and I've got the notes, and you can work on this homework, and it will really help you. Ben, can you hand these out to the people? I'm trying to think here. Yeah, there's one page each. And if you want it, just raise your hand. Ben will get it to you. And you can fill this out, and it will help prepare you for next week. And we'll go over this more in detail. We only opened two seals this week, okay? Get people out. This is important. They understand this right now, okay? All right, we're going to have prayer. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lamb of Sacrifice, I urge you right now to put your faith in Him and tell the Lord, you're a sinner, you deserve the wrath of God, but you're putting your faith in Jesus to save you. He won't reject you. He won't turn you away. And then He will reign over your life, and you will be in the kingdom of God when it comes. It'll be great. You'll be there. You'll see the thief on the cross there who got forgiven by coming to the Lord and putting his faith in the Lord. May you do that today, and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus, that He knocks at the door of our heart. He offers Himself as a lamb of sacrifice for our sin, and He cleanses us. Lord, I thank you for that. And once we're saved, He keeps us clean from pollution and from all the dirt of sin that gets in our lives. Lord, help us to just look to Him and walk with Him. And Lord, we thank you He's coming back again. Help us to get ready for that and to understand it and to prepare our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Have a blessed time. Please be back here next week.
Your little note.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it.
That notebook, I want to give it to everybody upstairs.
Yeah, we'll do it next week.
No, upstairs.
Oh, upstairs. Okay. All right.
I don't know where you put it, so.
Yeah, all right. I'll get it out.
Okay. I didn't get one.
You didn't get one?
No.
Oh, man. You got to get one.
You didn't come yesterday because I was doing something.
Yeah.
And it was wet.
Oh, that no problem. No problem. Yeah.